Man, praise the Lord for good music today and good song, soul-stirring songs. Amen. If you take out your Bibles at this time and turn with me to the book of Zephaniah, one of the Old Testament prophets there, Zephaniah chapter 1. I'd like to make an observation and an opinion, I guess I may have, is that we certainly today live in a visual, kind of a visual audio kind of society where everything is painted for us in pictures. Now, my thought on this is that it has damaged greatly a true believer's reading of the Word of God. Is that we like everything in picture form, everything to be detailed for us, and Hollywood has certainly done those things of bringing every kind of angle and realistic pictures to the screen. And many times as we go to the Word of God, we pass over some of the words that are very influential in getting our imagination to work. And imagination seems to be something of the past. We don't want that. Kids don't play with blocks and Legos as much as they did before, but instead video games that paint the pictures for them. That's just the society that we live in. But you know, as I was reading through this passage here, it is an amazing thing when you allow the Lord to paint the picture in your own mind of what the Scriptures really mean. The passage that we'll read today, that if we allow our imagination to go wild, allow our mind to formulate what the Scriptures are saying, will literally cause us to tremble at what it is proclaiming to us. In Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse number 14, I'd like you to follow along as I read from verse number 14 down to verse number 18. And as we read these words, I want you to think about what they mean, and picture in your mind this day coming to pass. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteneth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress. A day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon man, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy. For He shall make even a speedily redundance of all them that dwell in the land. Our dear Father, we bow before You now. And Father, we pray that You give us a glimpse of a coming day that is recorded in the Word as the day of the Lord. Father, so many times we want to picture You as a God of love, but yet Your Word also says that You are a God of anger. We want to picture You as a God of mercy and forgiveness. But yet, Lord, there is also a day when You will be a God of wrath and fierceness. Father, there is a reason for the message today. Father, help us to see who You truly are. That our minds would not picture and portray somebody that You're not. But, Lord, that we could see You in Your glory, see You in Your holiness, Your righteousness. The power that You possess, Lord, and allow that to affect our hearts and lives today. Lord, each one of us is in need of a great shaking. A shaking towards salvation. And then there's, Lord, those that need to be shook, that they would proclaim the salvation. Father, whatever Your will is today, I pray that You would not allow us to be distracted, that our thoughts would not run away from the Scriptures that will be read and from the thoughts that are brought across. But Lord, that as we sit here and stand here in Your presence, that Lord, a true understanding of who You are would flood this place and change us forever. Father, we desire that today, and we ask of this of You now. In Jesus' name, amen. Zephaniah was one of the prophets that God used to warn the nation of Israel of a coming judgment upon them. Throughout the Word of God, we see numerous prophets going to the nation, reminding them of their sin and their wickedness that had led them to the time of God's wrath being poured out against them. These prophets begged of the people to turn from their way and turn back to God. Zephaniah was the last prophet to proclaim the Word of God before destruction was to come. We see men like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Daniel, these men that through the time of captivity still faithfully proclaim that God is merciful and that God is forgiving to a nation that has turned their back on Him. These words that Zephaniah spoke were words that, if we truly took heed to, would cause us to fear God. The subject of the day of the Lord ought to move each one of us to concern. Number one, it ought to cause us to have concern over our eternal soul. That we ourselves as individuals would not want to enter into a day that is described in the Word of God as a day of despair, a day of terror, a day of God pouring out His anger upon mankind and upon this world. But it also ought to make us concern and have a concern about those souls of other people today. Those that do not know the Lord, that in a moment's instance they could enter into this awful day that is recorded. The prophecy of Zephaniah was in 625 B.C. He addressed it to Judah about the coming judgment of God and the coming invasion and captivity that was soon to come to pass. At this point in time, God was going to use Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar to destroy Jerusalem to bring the nation of Israel into captivity. It was a day that was recorded of here, that it was a day where the mighty men wept bitterly. It was a day of trouble. It was a day of great waste. It was a day of gloominess in this nation, of seeing this great nation of Israel being conquered and left to the hands of the Babylonians. But you know, with much Old Testament prophecy, we see that there is a law that is needing to be understood, and that is the law of double reference. That even though God is speaking to Israel at this time and for bringing a fulfillment to them, there is also seen a prophecy of a day that will come in our history. Beyond the Babylonian invasion, there is coming a worldwide judgment of God. That God is going to have His fury and His anger poured out against the nations of this world. See, brethren, history does repeat itself. History will happen again. And although that the day that is speaking up here in the nation of Israel, that they survived that day, we will see very clearly from Scripture this morning that the world will not survive the coming day of the Lord. See, the great day of the Lord, as mentioned in verse number 14, is a period associated with events still to come. We find that the day of the Lord begins at the same time that the rapture takes place. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 2, we find the Apostle Paul addressing this issue to the believers there in Thessalonica. They had received some bad doctrine that people were teaching that the day of the Lord is upon them, and they feared greatly for their life, as rightfully they should have. But Paul said here in chapter 5 and verse number 2, he says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night." See, on God's prophetic chart, the next order of events is that of the rapture of the saints. That is when God will begin the prophetic chart of Daniel's 69th week, and all that we see in the book of Revelation will take place. But it will start with those of us that are saved being caught up to meet Him in the air. But also on that time period, this earth will be experiencing the day of the Lord. We see in Isaiah chapter 2 a description of what that day will contain and what that day will characterize. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible says this. It says, "The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low." Simply what the Bible is teaching here, it is a day where man's day will be over. The men that are lifted up in pride, the men that think they are so mighty and powerful today, God will bring to their knees. The nations that are proud of their accomplishments and are proud of their powers and their influence, God will crush them. It will be a day when men, the mighty men, will weep and cry and say, "What has happened?" And it will be a day that will consume them. The day of the Lord primarily encompasses the glorious kingdom of God. It will begin with the terror of God upon this earth and His divine judgment during the 7-year period of the tribulation. Then the Lord will come again, set up His millennial kingdom. Then there will be a rebellion, and ultimately it will end in divine judgment. If you'll turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. The last book of the Bible in Revelation chapter 20. If you have ever read the book of Revelation and seen what God promises to happen on the earth, it is a book that ought to affect us greatly. Many people are interested in the things that are happening or going to happen here on the earth. But I think if we sit back and truly understand what wrath and judgment God will pour out upon us and upon those that are lost, it will affect us in a tremendous way. But here we come to Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11. The world is destroyed. Mankind is dead. And now the judgment begins. Look at verse number 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, for there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Allow your mind's eye to run with the picture that is described for us. Here we see in verse number 11, God is sitting upon His throne. He is high and lifted up. He is standing there, and everything is trembling in His presence. The Bible says that the heavens and the earth fled away, and there was no place found for them. that everything trembled at the sight of God and the voice of God, and mankind was brought before that throne. Standing there, being held by the power of God. That at a word of God, they were to be dropped into the fires of hell for eternal punishment. Can you picture all those that would stand before God and the fear that was running through them? There's been a lot of fearful things in life, but there's never so great fear as standing before the Almighty God and knowing that in a moment He will condemn you to the fires of hell, where you will never see Him again. You'll never see the light of day, a day of gloominess, a day of darkness, a day of wrath. The prophet Joel uses two adjectives to describe this day. He says it is a great and terrible day. It is great because it goes beyond all human comprehension. That our minds, our imaginations cannot even picture what will happen on this earth and what will happen in eternity. Because God in His greatness is in control. God is alone exalted above all men. He will rule and reign. Man will no longer have a say. It is terrible because everything the world is experiencing is coming because of God's judgment. The Bible calls the day of the Lord the day of God in Revelation 16. It is the day of God's anger in Jeremiah 30. It is the day of God's vengeance in Jeremiah 43. You know, the question that comes as we consider this day, there is really only one question that needs to be asked this morning. And that is this: are you ready? Are you ready for the day of the Lord? You know, there are so many things that we can consider. And we will consider some thoughts about the day of the Lord and what the Bible has to say about it. First of all, I'd like us to consider what is the day of the Lord. If you'll go back to our text in Zephaniah chapter 1, we see in verse number 15 that here he describes what that day is. The Bible says in chapter 1 and verse number 15, that day is a day of wrath. A day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness, a day of desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Some words that are used there to describe and paint a picture in our mind of what this day truly is. It is a day of great trouble, a day of great distress. It is certainly not a pleasant time, is it? It's not a day where you see a men and women rejoicing and smiling and laughing, but instead a day when mankind is weeping or cannot weep anymore because all is gone. It is a day when man's hearts fail, where bodies tremble, when the sight of what is coming next causes sheer terror and a nightmare like never before. It is a day that is described in such great detail as a day of sorrow. It is not the rapture. The Bible tells us that God will come for His own before this day. Amen? He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And you know why He said this last verse? He says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Why do we comfort ourselves with that prospect? Because of the day of the Lord, of how great and terrible it is. Brethren, do not believe what others will say, that Christians will go through the tribulation. God has not called us unto wrath. The words that He uses, such as comfort and joy and blessings in Joel about those that are for His children, He means God's wrath is only going to be poured out on those that do not know Him. It does not involve us as believers, He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 3, verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. God has made it very clear that He loves us as His children and would never send us through a time of such destruction. He uses these words, wrath, distress, desolation, darkness. You know, God has not called us to wrath, but to joy. God has not ordained us to be in distress, but in peace. God has not wanted to put us in desolation, but comfort. God does not want us as believers to dwell in darkness, but in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this day of the Lord will be reality for many. The Bible says that it is a day of wrath like no other. There is much wrath and there is much fear to be held for God. Man's wrath and king's wrath is bad enough. We don't want to stand before authorities. There may be those today that we fear the power that they have, fear what they can do to us. But remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. He said this. He says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The Bible says that is the one we must fear. As believers, we should not fear what the world offers. We should not fear what destruction may come. We should not fear what man can do. The worst they can do is kill this old body and put us into the presence of God. But He says this, the one we are to fear is God Almighty. God who can destroy your soul forever. Do you fear God? Oh, we have so much fear of man and what man will do, but you know man is weak. Do you understand that there is a God that has His wrath and it is righteous wrath that He will pour out on this world? Who shall stand in the day of God's wrath? In John chapter 3 and verse number 36, there is the present condition of those that are lost without Christ. Our wonderful scripture of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, is recorded here, but He also says in verse number 36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. You see what that scripture says? They will never experience the life that God offers. Only His wrath. The future consequences of those that reject Christ are where much sorrow and distress come. He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Listen to the description here. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Brethren, allow these words to affect you today. God says it in a way to stir us and to show us what He means. When He says everlasting, He means everlasting. When He says destruction, He means ultimate destruction. God is not kidding around here. This day is terrible. And as Hebrews 10 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It is a day of wrath, but it is also a day of distress. The prophet Jeremiah says that it is a day when men will choose death rather than life. Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19 categorizes the horrors of the coming day of the Lord, where we see that the seven vials, the seven trumpets, and the seven seals are released. I mean, you read through that and you think about the things that will be on the earth, where the grass and the trees will be consumed, the water will be turned to blood, the sun will be heated up and scorch men. Destruction, famines, pestilence will wipe out a third of the earth. A day when men desire that rocks would fall upon them, when they would jump off things to try to kill themselves. Even suicide will not work. But the trauma and the distress and the nightmare that they're living in will be a reality. And they cannot get out of it. The sweet relief of death will not even take away the anguish of the pain that they'll be going through. Daniel spoke of it as a time of trouble such as never was. Jesus said it would be a day when men's hearts would fail for fear. You know, I remember back to September 11th when I was working out in the community and talking to those that were lost and the fear that was in their eyes, the fear that was in their voice. Of two planes crashing into the Twin Towers, plane into the Pentagon, and all that was going on. You remember that day, the turmoil, the uncomfortableness, the distress that was in all of us. And you know, I remember thinking, this is not even close to what you'll feel when the day of the Lord comes. Not even close. Your hearts will shut down in fear. It is a day of distress. It is a day of desolation. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 19, the Bible speaks about the desolation that will be on the earth, the destructiveness. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 19, here the prophet is once again warning Israel of the coming day. He says, they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the molds and to the bets, and go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the raging rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty when He arises to shake terribly the earth. Men running to hide themselves as God walks. His majesty going before Him. His holiness, His righteousness with eyes of fire. The rocks will not hold and protect in the day of the Lord. It is also said to be a day of darkness. Back in our text, the Bible uses this in verse number 17. I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men. You know, you may say, well, when I enter into this day, then I'll turn to God. You know, the Bible teaches very clearly, it goes against the books that are popular out there today, that we read and we watch the movies, that some will go into the tribulation and be able to be saved. The Bible makes it very clear in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about what God will do to those that are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ in this day. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse number 7, the Bible says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he taketh out of the way." Excuse me, "until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." And notice verse number 10. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, because they did not trust Christ when it was the day to trust Christ, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." See, my friend, today if you sit here in our midst and you do not know the Lord God of heaven, and you have the mindset, well, one day when all this happens, I see things change, then I'll get on my knees and I'll cry out to God to save me. He says, "I will not listen." He says, "I'll send you a delusion that you won't even think of me. That you won't even come to me." According to Revelation chapter 9 and chapter 16, men will curse God even more in the tribulation. That as they see the mighty powers of God and see the hand of God against them and know that it's of them, they'll still shake their fists and say, "God, we don't love you. God, we won't turn to you." And they blaspheme the name of God only to stir more anger and wrath upon them. Who in their right mind would do that? Those that God has caused to be blind. See, when you enter into the day of the Lord, it will be a day of spiritual darkness. It will be too late. All your plans of saying, "Well, I'll wait to clean up my life. I'll wait to get established and then I'll deal with God. I'll wait to grow a little older. Maybe I just want to live a little bit and then I'll get right with God." If you enter into that day, it's all too late. You reject God in the day of salvation. In the day of the Lord, He will reject you. He's not going to be the loving and merciful and forgiving God that He is today, where He has His arms wide open saying, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Me for forgiveness, salvation, and cleansing, and I will freely give it." In that day, He will be the one to pour out His wrath. That ought to cause us to tremble. You know, as a Christian, even though I'm saved and know that I will not go through this day, it causes me to tremble. Oh, it was tough this week reading these passages. Just knowing the power and the might of God. You may say, "Well, why is this day coming?" Well, there are several reasons why God is allowing this day and why it will come. There are reasons that we don't want to acknowledge. Because the mindset of most people today is this: well, God is a God of love. He'll never do it. God can never pour out His wrath upon His creation, upon those that He loves. Well, let me say this. To love, you must hate. for God to love you as a sinner and offer forgiveness to you, He must hate sin. There must be that balance. For God to truly love us, He must hate sin with a passion. And it is because of sin that God is pouring out His wrath. It is not because He desires to do it. It is not because of any other reason. But it is because of mankind's sin. And He says that in our text. In verse number 17, He says, I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk as blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. The only reason why He pours out His wrath. God is a God of love, but He is also a holy God. He cannot be in the presence of sin. He cannot tolerate sin. He does not like sin. He does not condone sin. He does not glorify sin. And anybody that does is sinning against God. But sin must be judged. The day of vengeance is exactly that. A day of God's judgment on sin. In Isaiah chapter 13, in verse number 9. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse number 9. The Bible says, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, and the sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and for the wicked, and the wicked for their iniquity, and will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. That's what God will do. There is no escaping. The Bible says that sin will catch up with us. In verse number 12, He says, And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled in their lees and say to their heart, The Lord will not do good, neither will He do evil. Can you imagine this day? He uses the example of a candle. As He walks around, it only shows a little light as God begins to search every aspect of man's life. As God begins to search every decision of the nations of this world. And He says, And I will not do good. I will judge. The book of Amos, in verse chapter 5 and verse number 18, likens this day to a nightmare. A nightmare that brings such fear. You say, well, how much does God hate sin? He hated it enough to allow wicked men to abuse His Son and nail Him to the cross. Jesus Christ went through everything imaginable that brings distress and discomfort to our life. He was mocked by men. He was betrayed by man. He was spat upon. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was humiliated. Why? Because of a holy God that demands punishment for sin. God hates sin enough to make His lovely, spotless, precious, sinless Son to become sin for you and I. Brethren, do you understand where the reason? Where the reason for God's wrath? Our sin is causing this. Our sin put Christ on the cross. God is justified when He says, I will pour out My wrath on this world. How dare we reject His Son? How dare we continue to mock and blaspheme the name of God and His righteousness and His sacrifice and say, God, I know better. I can handle this. God, I want to live the way that I want to live. Go ahead, do it. But there's a day coming where God will cause the price to be paid. And in that day, it will be a nightmare. God will torment you. And if you can remember in that day, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, that will torment you even more. That wrath had already been poured out. And you rejected it. You know, Jesus Christ is the only hope. The Bible makes it very clear. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, for God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He's already paid for the wrath. He's already suffered the wrath. And the question is only this, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Has He paid the price for you? If you are, you will never experience this day. You know, I'll tell you this. Many people will try to escape the day of the Lord through other means. But there is no hope in those. There is no salvation in religion. There is no salvation in personal achievements. There is no salvation in politics or national defense. There is no salvation in our riches. But there is only salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you read that passage there in Zephaniah chapter 1. All those things Israel tried to do to appease the wrath of God. They tried their religion. They tried their achievements. They tried their fenced cities to defend against that day. They tried against their wealth. They said here that they're silver and gold. But God said it will not deliver. But Peter put it properly. He says, for as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, we sang of the blood of Christ today. See, blood hath to be shed. Blood hath to be poured out for our redemption. Amen for that. That this day can be avoided. I like how the song goes, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be held by His nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread away. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. We may have much today, but tomorrow it could be all gone. It ought to cause us to tremble. The Bible tells us that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That no man knows the hour. But God the Father knows when this day will come. It is His day, not man's day. And when He does come, the love of God will not restrain His wrath. Psalm 7 verse 11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will welt his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. Dear friend, if you have been saved from this day, it ought to make you very thankful that you as a believer do not have to go through a day so awful as this. Let me ask you this. Have you trusted the Christ that can spare you from the wrath to come? John the Baptist, when he preached, he warned the people of the wrath to come. But also in the process, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." See, there is an importance of understanding what we will face without Christ. But the more important thing is that Jesus Christ is the way to avoid it. God's plea in Zephaniah chapter 2, after he got done bringing all the destruction on the land. In Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you." Verse number 3, "Seek ye the Lord. All ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness, that it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." You know, when we seek the Lord and we come to Him for salvation, we are hid in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. He protects us. The blood covers. The blood says, "Wrath has already been poured out. Pass over them." God's plea is this to you: call upon the name of the Lord. If you're not saved today, we're going to have an invitation in a moment. My objective is not to scare you, but it is to warn you. Just as the prophets of old and preachers of old stood up and warned the people of this world that there is a mighty and powerful God, the same is true today. God has not changed. And this world is getting more wicked day after day. We see that His time is drawing nearer. Soon the day of the Lord will come to pass. And where will you be? Will you be safe in the rock of Jesus Christ? Or will you be hiding in the rocks, running from Him? Christian, let me ask you a question this morning. The Apostle Paul is a tremendous example to us of a man that worked and served the Lord to warn others of the coming judgment. Scripture after scripture, we see Paul warning the wicked, pleading with the wicked, weeping to keep sinners from the judgment. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 26, he says, "I am pure from the blood of all men." He was saying, "I have told everybody that I've met. I've warned everyone that I've known of the day of the Lord." Let me ask you this. Can you say that? Can you say that you've told your loved ones? Told your co-workers, your friends that are lost about a day that is going to be a nightmare? Have you cared enough to warn them, to weep and beg them not to enter into that day? See, without Christ, they will be there. That's the reality of it, brethren. We're not here to candy coat it or make it simple or nice. That's the reality. God says what He means. You know what God is seeking today is men and women who will stand in the gap and warn the wicked of what's coming. We need more preachers. We need more soul winners. We need more Christians that care about souls. There was a day that you cared about your own soul and got on your face and said, "God, save me from the wrath to come." Why would you allow somebody else to go to something that you're not willing to go to? I want every head bowed, every eye closed.